wonder, what is it that you really hope for? Do you, like most other Floridian today, just wish that every time you stepped outside, you hope your face didn't melt off because of the heat? How many of you are hoping for cooler weather? Yeah, me too, yeah. Good grief, it's so hot outside. But what is it that you hope for? Maybe it's in a leader. Maybe it's in somebody who's doing really well right now. I don't know, Jeff Bezos. Maybe it's in a presidential candidate, somebody that you would love to be in office right now. Maybe it's in a particular system, a particular organization that you think if you invest in that organization or that political party, this will be your hope, and this hope will deliver you for freedom. My name's Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here. And if I haven't met you yet, I'd love to meet you in the lobby. I will be there after the service. We're still in our series of movies, or at the movies. We've gone through different movies. We've talked about Monsters, Inc. We've talked about Fear. We talked about The Incredibles and about how when we all work together, when we're apostles and priests and evangelists and shepherds and teachers, that the church can be grow better. That we talked about last week. We talked about Up was the 2 weeks ago. We talked about how through this young man, through this, you can see that you're on adventure following Jesus. This week, we are moving into the Star Wars phase. Anyone not seen Star Wars? Oh, one person over here. Good, you're not welcome here. Just kidding. Yeah, Star Wars. It's been with us for over 40 years, and people have been fascinated with this sci-fi movie series. And if there is any movie that can show us about whom it is to follow Christ, whom it is to be the church together, it's the struggle of good and evil that is depicted in Star Wars. But Star Wars is more than about good versus evil. It's about hope. And all the way through the Star Wars series, there is this hope in this one person. The Star Wars that we're focusing on today, of course, there's many of them. It's the first one, the fourth one, depending on how you watch them. Who watched 4, 5, and 6 first? I did. I'm a child of the 70s, yeah. Who watched 1, 2, 3 first? Anybody? Couple of you. Interesting. Yeah, and over here. Good. That's good to hear. Yeah. Yeah. The first one, which came out the fourth time, yeah, the first one is Phantom Menace. And in Phantom Menace, Qui-Gon Jinn and his apprentice, Obi-Wan, are looking for this hope. They've been searching for this hope, and the hope is that one day they will find a person that will bring balance to the Force, balance to the good and evil that is depicted in and around the universe. And Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, they're in the plane and their spaceship, and they're flying over past this planet. And of course, the hyperdrive is down. The hyperdrive's always down, right? They need parts for the hyperdrive, and so they said, well, we're going to have to start, Master. So they said, well, we'll go down to that godforsaken planet down there. Let's go down to Tatooine. There's nothing going on in Tatooine. Let's go down there. Well, we've got to be careful because some weird people down there. So they land on the outskirts of the city, and they land their little spaceship, and Obi-Wan, and he stays in the plane because he's only like the Padawan kind of thing, and Qui-Gon goes off to find parts for the spaceship. And he bumps into this slave trader, come gangster, come owner of a shop that sells parts for spaceship. And there's nowhere else on the planet that you can get things for the hyperdrive, and only this one place can he get these. And he says, well, I've got this much money in Republic money. Is this okay? And he says, no, that's not okay. And you're going to have to find some money. This is the only place he can get parts for the hyperdrive. And then while he's there, his Jedi senses start to twig. He sees when he walks in the shop, this young boy who's a slave, He's a slave to this guy, Watto. And Watto treats him like dirt when he's in the shop. And his senses start to, this guy's pretty smart. And he finds out that he's going to be in this great pod race kind of thing, driving this pod race over the sand. And because he hasn't any money, Qui-Gon, who can't use his Jedi mind tricks on Watto, says, I'm going to bet that that boy wins the race. And sure enough, he wins the race after this great epic adventure. He wins the race, and not only does he get the money and the parts he needs, but he also sets Anakin free from slavery. And that's another sermon for another day, amen? He sets him free. Mom says, go, you're going to have a better life. You're going to have a much better life under these two experienced Jedi. You're going to be trained to be the Jedi. You're going to be trained to be the hope of the universe. Hope is a constant theme throughout our Bibles. Hope is a constant theme all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Hope is about a person, an event that happened. And where we are today in the text is Hebrews. And Hebrews is the book that was written to the Hebrews. Yeah, and that's why it's called Hebrews. And in Hebrews, it speaks a language that Hebrews know about. It's almost like ancient Jedi language. And they understand, when he says things in this scripture, they understand what they mean. And the writer of Hebrews, who we don't really know, starts to put a twist on these things like we've never heard before. And the main message of Hebrews, we're in chapter 6, the main message of Hebrews, it's an epistle, come letter, come sermon, is that you would have hope. So we're in chapter 6, and we're going to go there again. It's on the front of your bulletin. Someone down here, open your phone. If you've got it on your phone, there's Bibles in front of you, should you wish to read along. I want to encourage you to read along. What is this about? Well, the whole thing is Paul. It's not Paul, but somebody sounds like Paul. He says, we are confident. We're confident that you have better things ahead. He says, we are confident that you are meant for better things. Things for salvation. That's the whole premise of this chapter. We are confident that you're meant for better things. And that you'll have this hope. So, confident, hope. And the main reason for these next couple of verses we're going to read together is that you won't become spiritually dull. That's what it says. That you won't, in verse 12, that you won't become spiritually dull. Who doesn't want to become spiritually dull? Amen? Amen. A couple of you. Good, good, good. I don't become spiritually dull. So I hope that you would know that and you would hear that from these words. Hey, verse 13. Some ways not to be spiritually dull. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Then Abraham waited patiently and received what God has promised. So immediately, the writer of the Hebrews starts saying a name that they know so well. The founder, the absolute pillar of their faith, Abraham. Abraham was the first person to step out and say, I'm going to follow God and do what God wants me to do. And he set up altars in a strange land to Yahweh and said, I'm going to follow the promise of God. And Abraham obviously wanted children, and God said to him, you will be blessed. And this verse is in Genesis, I will bless you and I will multiply your descendants. That's exactly what happened. He says, I'm going to bless you, and you'll have outnumbered the stars in the sky. I'll outnumber the sand on the seashore, the stuff that gets stuck in your toes when you've been on the beach in the weekend. I'll outnumber those things. I'll outnumber those, and your descendants will go over all the land. In fact, he waited patiently. When it says that, he waited patiently. Want a definition of patience? he waited 25 years after that until he received his son Isaac. And everybody knew that, and everybody in Hebrew times, everybody knew that this is what their faith was founded on this man, this Jedi Knight, this Abraham. And Abraham would be the founder of the faith. He says, this is the kind of thing that you need to remember. This is your hope. This is the foundation of who you people are, who you, Israel, are. Abraham waited patiently. Verse 16. So God promised that. God put an oath, and he says, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. We're going to stop right there. We'll get back to the other half in a minute. People take an oath. I don't know about you, when I was a kid, if you wanted to make sure that your promise was secure, somebody said to you, do you really mean that? You'd say, I promise on my somebody's grave, on somebody's, my favorite aunt that passed like two generations ago, I swear on her grave, that is my binding promise to you, that you would know that this is an oath or a promise. And God is swearing by himself, by his own word, that the promise that he gave to Abraham and the oath that I will bless you and I will give you hope. So that's kind of the first thing, those two things, an oath and a promise. And it says these two things are unchangeable because it is what? It is impossible for God to lie. So not only do we have a promise, a promise from God, from Abraham, but we have an oath based on that promise. So it's not only just a pinky promise, you ever do that? Not only is it a pinky promise, but it's a double pinky promise. It's a double pinky promise that God is going to give you hope, that God is going to help Abraham and his descendants descend over the land. He says, I've given you the best Jedi you could ever have. And this Jedi is your founding hope. This is the kind of thing I want you to remember. This is the kind of thing I want to have concrete in your head. I've given you this. So, I mean, that's kind of exciting, right? That's kind of exciting to start with. And then we go into the second half of verse 18. Therefore, now if you see a therefore, you ask, what is the therefore? Therefore, let's do it again. When you see a therefore, you say to yourself, what is the therefore? Therefore. Therefore. The bit before it, the two promises, the oath and the promise. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our great high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Therefore, we who have fled to him, we who have gone to him, who have decided to follow him, who have asked that he come into our life and the Holy Spirit dwell in our life, we have a hope. Amen? We have a hope in not in Anakin Skywalker, not in Obi-Wan, not in Qui-Gon Jinn, not in the Jedi Council. We have a better hope. Our double pinky promise is an anchor for our souls. Now, I know you know that I like the fact of using an anchor here. I know you know that after 14 years in the Navy, I love myself an anchor or two. But this is the only place that the anchor is mentioned. It's mentioned in Acts when Paul actually uses anchors off the coast of Malta. Another sermon for another day. But this particular one is the first and only time the writer of Hebrews uses the word anchor. And he says that our hope is an anchor to our souls. Any boaters out there, ship? Any people who like to sail? Any people have boats? A couple of you, yeah? And when you put an anchor in the ground, when you put an anchor in the ground on a ship, and the ship or the boat pulls back, the flukes, these things, these are called flukes, yeah, they dig into the ground. They dig into the ground, and the boat or ship is able to sit back nice. So when you take your boat off of Rooker Island or wherever, and you put your anchor out on the side, it's able to stay still. And no matter what way the boat goes, no matter which way the direction of the sea goes, the boat stays nice and steady in the ground. One of my jobs when I was in the Navy was anchor watch, which is the most boringest thing in the world. Anchor watch. Literally, you drop the anchor wherever the captain tells you to drop the anchor. You drop the anchor, and sometimes when you drop the anchor, they're not too sure of the sediment of the rock that they land it in. They're not too sure of the quality of the sand, of the soil that goes into or where it went. So you take fixes. You make sure that the boat is staying where it's meant to do. And you don't want the ship to drag its anchor. When the anchor drags, it makes this awful like. And the idea is that when you take fixes, you fix off the land where the ship should be, that the ship stays in the same place. I went to this little church when I was a kid. It was so poor, we couldn't afford the pastor. We couldn't afford a preacher each week. It was a guest preacher each week. There was wire on the windows because people kept throwing rocks at the window. And I went there every week because my mother told me to. I went there with my little, 25 cents kind of thing to put on the offering plate. But when I went there was an anchor. There was an old man there. I thought he was old because I was younger, right? There was an old man there called Mr. Horton, and he sat in the same place every week. And there was a song. He was my anchor. He was like in charge of the boys' brigade. We would wear uniform on these special days. And on these special days, we would always sing the boys' brigade national anthem. And the boys' brigade national anthem, Mr. Horton would sing really loud and heartily, just like you did in the first opening hymn today. And he'd sing this hymn, and it's called We Have an Anchor. And I'd stand next to him, and so I'd get a bit of the vibes off him. And he'd sing, We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move. Grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. And when he sang that, I was like, I want some of that. I want that anchor that Mr. Horton's got. I want that embedded in my life. I want that anchor. I want that hope. I want that much affirmation that when I sing it, it boils over on everybody else. It says, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. And when the anchor's in the ground, no matter which way the ship goes, no matter which way your boat goes, no matter what storms come, if it's a good anchor, you stay fast and strong. You stay close to it. There's lots of different translations of that particular text. And there's different ways to say we hold on to this hope. Steadfast and sure, strong and trustworthy, firm and secure. My favorite, of course, is steadfast and sure. In episode 1 in Phantom Menace, they you know, Qui-Gon's doing like his investigation. And there's this one moment where he like takes a blood sample off of Anakin. So weird. Who just does that randomly and takes a blood sample off of people? But he pretends it's like it's for the race or something. And he like literally just steals his blood off from him and sends it off to Jedi headquarters to the DNA lab, which gets it back in like seconds. And he says, wow, the blood on this guy, the blood on Anakin Skywalker is off the charts. Qui-Gon says, it's even better than Master Yoda's. Flag there, right? They should have said, should have like realized. I think what happened with the Jedi Council when they heard this is that their anchor started to judder a little. Their anchor started to drag, and the watch on this anchor started to waver. They wanted that guy to be the host, to be the hope so much, and the anchor started to move. The anchor started to shudder. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Amen? And our hope is not in a person. Our hope is not in a new presidential candidate that's going to deliver our country back and our country will be able to live again. It's not about a political party. It's not about Jeff Bezos. It's not about the new owner of Twitter. It's not about any particular Jedi Knight, whether it be Anakin Skywalker or Obi-Wan. Our hope is found in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And you too can have that hope too, amen? Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, and He is the anchor to our souls. Amen. And one of the ways that we celebrate this hope, one of the ways that we commemorate and perpetuate this hope, is through Holy Communion. And that is what we'll do right now. Prepare your hearts as we enter into this time. Christ our Lord invites all to his table, all who love him and who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, we confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray, and free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, and he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, drink this, eat this, all of you. This is the body of Christ. This is doing this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup, a plain old cup, like any old cup, offered wine to one another and said, drink this, all of you. This is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts of Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves to him, offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering to us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, Lord, and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make these the body of Christ for us. This, so we can be for the world the body of Christ. That we can be for the world redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other, one with Christ, and one in ministry to all the world. Until Christ comes again, and we feast at his heavenly banquet through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, now and forever. Amen. As we come to the table is open to all who wish to encounter Christ. And there's stations around the room for tables. If I can ask the usher communion help to come to the tables, this is a good time for you to do that. Feel free to come and have bread that's given to you and a small cup, and there's some waste paper baskets either side for you to throw them away. You are welcome and encouraged to spend some time at the rails should you wish to do that. We have gluten-free options should you need that, and if you cannot make it to the tables, please just let one of your team know, one of the communion team know, and they will bring it to you. Come, the table is open.